Phil Williams here with you on Five Live. And the big breaking story out of the United States this evening, Barclays fined $453 million for fixing energy prices in the United States. 11:39, Tuesday night, time for our Tuesday night interview. Range of people of note that we've covered so far on Tuesday nights include Heather Small from In People, Chris Chibnall, the writer and creator of Broadchurch. And this evening's guest is a stand-up comic who is performing at Edinburgh this year and is going to be giving away a £1 bet to everybody who goes to his show on himself to win the Edinburgh Comedy Award. This is formerly the Perrier Award that you might have heard it referred as. Past winners include Sean Hughes, Frank Skinner, Lee Evans and Steve Coogan. And Nathan Cassidy is currently 20-1 to win that.
Good evening, Phil. How are you?
I'm very good, how are you?
Good, I'm very well, thank you,
It's lovely to be in your very cool studio. This is how I'm staying cool tonight, by I'm going to sleep in your studio tonight.
Squatting
on your desk.
Squatting in the BBC studios. Well, yeah. You've got to get money for your licence fee somehow. So let's talk about your stand-up show, first of all, then. What are you doing this year? I mean, it's fair to say that probably people might be more familiar with what's his face who did this, didn't he? Dave Gorman. Your style of comedy, it goes just beyond getting up and doing jokes. Although you do jokes, and jokes are in the show, obviously.
I hope
just
so.
To reassure people.
I hope so.
You get more of a kick from exploring issues around it.
Yeah, people are probably more familiar with anyone but me doing this type of idea. As you say, it was kind of, I don't know whether it was started by Dave Gorman, but certainly Dave Gorman was one of the early exponents of doing something in addition to the jokes. So this is what I'm doing this year. This is what I did last year. And the idea, as you say, this year, the show is called Edinburgh Comedy Award Winner. And I'm, which Time Out are saying is a ballsy title, and I probably agree.
Yeah, slightly previous, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Setting myself up for a fall there, probably with the critics. But no, I'm definitely going to win. I'm definitely going to win. There's no doubt. 20-1 is ridiculously high. I should be 2-1. And yes, I'm giving away £1 bets on me winning the Edinburgh Comedy Award. So again, just like last year, I'm paying my audience to come to my show. So I expect all houses again.
So last year, what you did was you didn't charge and you gave them £1, as in a pound coin, on arrival.
I did. Desperate, do you think? I'm not sure. yes, £1 on arrival. I quickly learned maybe I shouldn't give on arrival when two people left my show 1 minute in with their pound in their pockets. But
well, literally turned up for the quid and legged it.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So I quickly learned to leave it about 10 minutes.
Right.
And then everyone would leave 10 minutes in, and then I'd give it at the end, and it was fine. That's what I did last year for my show, £3. I actually spent the year giving money away on the streets for a documentary that I was filming, so it's all part of the same idea. So I followed that idea through to this year in a different format.
Part stand-up then, Nathan, as you were explaining, and part social experiment. So let's start with last year. The idea of giving everybody a pound to turn up to a free show was what? What were you exploring?
I was exploring what you can do differently with your money. It was kind of based on my granddad's story. He saved money for his whole life and unfortunately got sick, got Alzheimer's on his retirement. So he saved for his retirement and unfortunately wasn't able to spend any or much of the money he'd saved. So that put the initial thought in my head. And I thought, what can I do with my money now that's more creative than saving it or just spending it on the day-to-day things? So I spent a year just giving it away randomly on the streets. I was kind of behind the camera, so I used other stand-up comics and my son. I say use my son, but what's a son good for if you can't use it? he's 5 years old. He's already had his first film, so yeah. He's going to be very precocious.
With diva-like demands.
Yeah, he'll be on Britain's Got Talent before you know it next year.
doing
shadow dancing. I spent a year giving away money, and just remarkable things happened during the year. Remarkable things happened during the fringe.
Like what?
During the year, I was encouraging generosity from others, and a £500 digital camera was delivered anonymously to my door. So I still don't know who delivered it. It was delivered to Cassidy at my address.
Wow.
And
how did they get your address?
Well, you can get it online, I think. That's not a key for everyone to go looking for my address online, because I will move house. you can't get any more. Hey, look, don't Google my name. I've never done that.
Tell me about the soldier that turned up to one of your shows.
Oh, yeah, well, this was, remarkable story. He turned up to watch the film. I obviously didn't realise he was there. He came up to me at the end of the film. So it's kind of a moving ending around my granddad and kind of paying tribute to my granddad's memory after giving money away for the whole year. And he said to me, kind of with tears in his eyes, that 9 of his colleagues have been killed in front of him in battle. And he came back to the UK and the compensation that he got, he split between the 9 families. And he looked at me in the eye and he said, "It's just so great that someone else is doing something similar in terms of generosity. Thank you so much," he said. And these are the things that kind of lift my Edinburgh experience and lift my life generally. And these are the kind of things, you know, these are the kind of situations that you open yourself up to if you do, I guess, a little bit more than jokes. Although jokes are good.
So, yeah, especially when you're a comic, they help.
Yeah.
So this year's show, then, you're going to, instead of giving them a pound coin, you're giving them a £1 bet with a bookie that you will win what we knew as the Perrier Award. So that this is the one, as I said in the introduction, Frank Skinner, Lee Evans, Steve Coogan, big names have won this award.
Absolutely. Lost Trios for Embarkus, Writers Inc., The Brass Band, Ben Keaton.
And you're currently 20-1.
I'm currently 20-1.
But you were 50-1.
I was 50. Well, to be fair, they gave me 25-1,
right,
which I was quite happy with. You know, a mate of mine said it should be 100,000-1, and that's a mate of mine saying that.
Friends like that.
Yeah, 25-1. They did research on my YouTube videos, and they researched my address, which you can get easily online. And but then, because I wanted to share the bet, because I wanted to be generous with people, I got them to double the odds to 50-1. But now, because they've had a lot of money on it, I believe from yourself, Phil, it's down to 20-1. So, yeah.
And what are you exploring in this show?
I guess based on the feelings that I got last year, where, I mean, other things happen with people coming up to me and saying that I'd inspire them to do different things with money. The kind of togetherness that I got from that, I've carried forward to this year. And I think if everyone joins in on the same bet, we can create a feeling of togetherness that you don't usually get with stand-up. Usually you drive 3 hours to a gig, you do the gig, you absolutely storm it, in my case. You drive away on your own crying, and people go home and say, "I saw a brilliant stand-up tonight. What was his name?" I have absolutely no idea. Sometimes I can't remember my own name. So this is just to bring everyone together towards the same dream, almost like falling in love.
Oh.
Yes.
What about those who might say, they might be listening now, they might say, "Well, sure, it's just a cynical ploy to get his name out there."
They're absolutely right. you saw through the tissue of lies.
Well, I admire your honesty.
I've been doing stand-up for 4 years, so to say I don't want to get my name out there is a lie. But I've been doing stand-up for 4 years. I could have just stuck with doing jokes, but the issue was I wasn't getting the buzz from that. However well the gig went, I wasn't getting the buzz from that. I was getting the buzz from that feeling of togetherness and you get with people after the gig if you do something slightly different. So in a selfish way, I'm doing it to try and generate that buzz within myself.
But I find that really interesting, because most comics that I've interviewed will say that is the laughter alone is the drug. But you're saying that's not enough for you.
Yeah, however well, I'm just strange. I am very strange. However well a gig or badly a gig goes, I don't actually get a huge buzz, if any buzz, from the laughter. And that's not to say people shouldn't laugh, because they absolutely should.
They do laugh at your gigs, just to confirm that.
I'm slightly happier when they laugh. But it's that real physical sensation of happiness that I'm talking about. Of course, I get happy from gigs, and there are great gigs. But I get that real sensation, that kind of physical buzz from different things, and in this case, from a feeling of togetherness, from a feeling of everyone together, from connections with people.
You've flirted with stand-up before, haven't you?
I did. I dipped my toe in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to open spot with the likes of Jimmy Carr and Michael McIntyre and Russell Brand. What's happened to those guys now?
Mm-hmm. And just explain what you mean by an open spot.
Well, perform for free. So I've gone down, if anything. I'm now paying my audience. So after 10 years, I'm paying my audience. But yeah, I kind of dipped in. And I guess for the reasons that I've explained, I was getting paid back in the day, but I wasn't really getting the buzz from doing it. So I went away for 9 years to reconsider my options, and I've come back.
So what were you doing in those 9 years?
I was setting electricity prices, batteries in America.
Right, how did that work out
for
you?
Yeah, it was going quite well. Just picking numbers out of the air. I was doing that. I was travelling the world. I was having two kids for the last 5 years. Mm. So yeah, it's been a beautiful and equally atrocious time. I've done plays around the country. I've written plays around the country, and so I've always kept in the arts. But I guess the stand up buzz never leaves you.
See, I know for a fact that you're also trying to get a sitcom off the ground. So talk to us about that process, because how many stages of commissioning do you go through to try and get something on the telly or the radio?
Yeah, I don't know how many rounds of the BBC commissioning process is. I believe it's about 4,000, but I got to the final round, whatever it was, and I got knocked out in the final round, along with Frank Skinner, I believe. So
really?
But it's still all in my bin at home, all on my fire at home. So until the winter, I won't actually burn those sitcoms.
See, what I find intriguing about you is that you're in a trade which is fiercely competitive, right? You've mentioned some of the people that you were first gigging with who are now huge, but I'm sure you could tell us plenty more that you gigged with in 2000 who aren't huge.
Yeah, let's name them.
And you know, when it comes to then other areas of what you do, the sitcom, again, fiercely competitive, full of knockbacks, and yet you also say that the laughter isn't what gives you the buzz. So essentially, you're sticking to a trade that's fiercely competitive, not for the obvious reason that most of your compatriots will stick with it. I find that intriguing.
Yeah, well, again, I mean, it is so fiercely competitive. I mean, it's impossible, I would say, to achieve those levels of Michael McIntyre fame. Of course, it's not impossible, because it's not impossible to win the lottery. But you've got to be in it for, I think, different reasons than fame, and I'm in it for the reasons that I've explained. Some people are in it for the reasons of the buzz of the laughter, which is of course part of the reason I'm in it. Yeah. But
it's not your primary.
I can say hand on heart, I'm not in it for the fame.
Really,
the main reason being that people will hunt me down where I live.
So, but joking aside, if it was to take off, let's say this Edinburgh, there was a TV exec from Channel 4 who said, Nathan, your own gig next year, and then the DVD sales go through the roof. I mean, you wouldn't object to that, would you?
I would absolutely, no, of course not. But I would have to pay people £10 to take that DVD out of the shop, just based on my current themes. No, of course not. I would probably bite their hand off. But
do you think that because we've been in such a tough economic time, that sparked the boom in comedy?
If it has, people don't realise how much you earn from comedy. I guess people hear that people like McIntyre have earned their many tens of pounds over the last year, but the reality of stand-up, I guess, for 99% of people is a lot different. So I think if you get into stand-up for those reasons, you quickly find out that the money isn't there, but you stay in stand-up for different reasons, whether that's the laughter or anything else.
But I mean, talking from being a jobbing comic to getting, say, a TV break or maybe a tour which will promote DVD sales, how do you make that leap? Because some of the guys have been on the circuit for years and years. I mean, Mickey Flanagan, for example, was on the circuit years and years, wasn't he, before that break? And then the break came ever so quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. I used to gig with Mickey Flanagan when he was playing pubs and open spots, and he was a great comic then and a great comic now, and he's no different a comic than when he was playing to no one in pubs. I mean, John Bishop says the whole thing: you're no different. And I say it's impossible. Of course, it's very, very possible. You only need that one person to pluck you
onto the biggest stage.
So.
So Alive at the Apollo or a McIntyre Road show or Mock the Week, anything like that?
Who would I to demand right at this moment to be on those shows from tomorrow?
How do you cope with hecklers?
I cry.
Get many?
I cry. No, you don't actually much anymore. And they're actually very nice. They're actually just trying to be funny. I think everyone wants to be a stand-up comic. They're just trying to be funny. So they actually help the show. I don't think I've ever had a bad heckle, apart from people leaving with the pound I just gave them, which is a heckle in itself, I guess. I'm leaving and you've paid me, goodbye.
I'm not sitting through your free show.
So I think it's
fine. How many years do you reckon you have to do it before that you get the chance of a Flanagan John Bishop star break?
Well, Flanagan and Bishop were at it about 10, 15 years, I guess. And I mean, it's always been said that it takes 6, 7, 8, 10 years to really perfect your craft. So I'm about 2 years back in the day, 4 years here. So I'm about 6 years in. So I think if I don't make it in the next couple of years, I will do something completely different.
And what would you do?
No, I won't do anything different. Right. I'm going to stick at it. until audience pays to see me, which is the ambition.
Who knows when that might happen? Although, you know what, joking aside, you say that, but I mean, even when comics who do Edinburgh have a paying audience, I've interviewed them on Fiverr, they tell me they make a loss. These are big-name comics that say they make a loss because by the time they've employed their agent, their PR, they've got the posters done. It's not a profit-making place, is it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I should explain that in the free festival where I appear, you actually get money on the way out. So actually, last year I did actually make a profit. I guess for the first time, I've done the paid fringe in the past, and I did make a profit in the past. So maybe it's the way to go. Everyone should give audiences money. It's the way to go.
Nathan, it's been a pleasure having you on. Nathan Cassidy's show at the Edinburgh Fringe is called Edinburgh Comedy Award Winner, and you get a free pan bet if you go and see him. Good luck.
First for breaking news and the best live sport.
This is BBC Radio 5.